Never thought you'd see me again, did you, Preacher?
Well, I was hoping. We're going in the store, Riker.
Who's the Redskin?
I am Hawk that soars. Preacher is my father.
Is that so? Spawned a whelp with some fat little squaw, did you, Preacher?
Hawk started to step toward Riker, but Preacher put a hand out to stop him.
You know what? You ain't gotten any more pleasant to be around than you were the last time. You won't take up where we left off. You're making a damn good start of it.
Hold on. I'm not looking for trouble. I'm willing to forget all about what happened between us in the past. In fact, if you come right down to it, I'm grateful for what you did.
Grateful? Why would you be grateful?
I was drunk that night. Now, mind you, I was mighty good with a knife, and I still am. But I might have missed because of all the whiskey I'd had, and that would have been terrible. I might not have had to answer to the law. She was just a tavern girl, after all, but I would have carried that guilt around with me for the rest of my life. So I owe you a debt, Preacher, for saving me from that.
Well, we're going inside. You need to get out the way.
Before we finished our talk?
We ain't got nothing to talk about.
Preacher took a step forward. He and Riker were about the same height. His chest was just about to bump Riker's chest. Footsteps came from the store's doorway. Riker stepped aside. Preacher saw that the entrance was still blocked. This time by a massive man who towered over both him and Riker. A black beard jutted halfway down the man's chest, but the top of his head was bald as an eagle, a fact revealed by his lack of a hat. Thick slabs of muscle on his arms, shoulders, and chest strained the homespun shirt he wore. He had a large, apparently heavy barrel perched on one shoulder, like it didn't weigh anything at all.
You want me to put this in the wagon, Hoyt?
No, just set it to the side for now, Pitch. I want you to meet a couple of friends of mine. This is Preacher and his half-breed son, Hawk.
We ain't your friends, Riker.
The huge man called Pidge ignored that and lowered the barrel to the loading dock, handling it easily. A grin wreathed his face under the bushy beard.
Howdy, Preacher. Howdy, Hawk. I'm named after a bird, too, you know. Well, it ain't my Christian name, I reckon. I don't rightly remember what that was. But my ma always called me Pigeon when I was a boy, on account I was so little and reminded her of a bird.
Preacher didn't see how in the hell Pidge could have ever been small enough to remind anybody of a bird, but he supposed anything was possible. How about that?
Well, we'd be obliged if you'd step aside so we can go on in the store. We gotta buy supplies.
What kind of engine are you?
I'm Absaraka.
I don't know nothing about them. Are they good engines or bad engines?
The Absaraka are an honorable people.
Well, that's good, I reckon. We're gonna see a bunch of engines, Hoyt says. We're going west on a expedition. Yeah, that's the one.
That why you're loading up all those wagons?
That's right. Although it's not really any business of yours, is it?
I don't care about your business, Riker. You just stay out of my way. That's all I want from you.
So, you're saying you don't want to be friends?
You damn right I'm not your friend.
Preacher moved to go around Pidge, but the huge man frowned and reached out with a ham-like hand. He rested it on Preacher's chest.
Wait just a doggone minute. How come you don't want to be friends with Hoyt? He's my friend.
Well, now, I'm sorry about that, because he's a no-good polecat and he's lower than a snake.
You can't talk that way about my friend!
He reached out and grabbed the front of Preacher's buckskin shirt. And he Preacher found himself flying wildly through the air. He sailed off the loading dock and landed in the back of a wagon. His fall was cushioned by a pile of blankets stacked on top of some crates, but the impact was still enough to rattle his bones. He rolled off the goods and fell to his knees in the wagon bed, just in time to see Hawk move in and hammer punches to Pidge's head. Unfortunately, Pidge didn't seem to even feel Hawk's fists. He swung an arm the size of a trunk of a young tree, and the backhanded blow swept Hawk off his feet and sent him sliding along the plank. Preacher pulled himself up and planted a foot on the wagon's top sideboard. He shoved off in a leap that carried him onto the loading dock again. He charged to Pitch. Pitch turned toward Preacher and threw a roundhouse punch. Preacher ducked under it and drove ahead with all the strength in his powerful leg. He lowered his shoulder and rammed it into Pidge's ample belly. It was a little like tackling a redwood tree, but Pidge staggered backward and his back slammed into the wall of the store. He shivered from the impact. Pidge's head bounced off the wood. Now that would have been enough to knock most men out of the fight. But Pidge was far from a normal man. He ignored the punch as Preacher began hooking into his belly, and he reached down to grab him by the right arm and left thigh. Pidge's hands were big enough to go all the way around Preacher's arm and almost all the way around his leg.
What? Damnation!
Suddenly, Preacher found himself above the behemoth's head, poised so the Pidge could heave him again.